You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
So why has there been so little resistance and why is there so little publicity about this? Well, there are two reasons that I think are important. The first is that the Harper government has been very careful to keep this thing as quiet as it can possibly keep it. Stephen Harper is no Brian Mulroney. Those of you who remember fighting the first free trade agreement back in the 80s will remember that no sooner had Brian Mulroney become prime minister in 1984 that he went down to New York and he spoke to 600 of blue chip audience, business audience, and he said, Canada is open for business. And they took out a nine-page color glossy supplement in the New York Times touting everything that was open that hadn't been open under those bad liberals, and basically just invited the business community to come into Canada and help themselves. That's where he announced the energy policy, which would mean that we were lost basically control over Canadian energy. It's now North American energy. That's where he announced the end of the Foreign Investment Review Agency. It's where he announced all the policies. And he used to say, give me 20 years and you will not recognize this country. He boasted about it. He said this was the greatest thing since sliced bread. This is not something that Stephen Harper is doing. He controls things very carefully from the PMO, and he has decided that we are not to know very much about anything, certainly nothing as complicated and as important and far-reaching as this agreement. And he's aided and abetted, let's face it, by a pretty right-wing media, mainstream media in this country that is not telling the story. And I remember the media, tugs of war, the debates and so on that we had about other trade agreements, it's been silent on this one. So it's a harder battle. It's a harder uphill battle to get this out there. The second reason is that I think many, many Canadians have a very positive view of Europe. And they think, well, isn't it good to diversify away from the U.S.? And also, Europe's cool. Europe's got better labor standards, better environmental standards than the United States. Isn't it a better place to have a trading partnership with? This is in many ways false. But even if it weren't false, one must remember that it's the business community of Europe and the business community of Canada that have cooked this up, and they have the exact same agenda as the business community of the United States and the business community of Canada when they cooked up NAFTA. These trade agreements are not about trade. They're about redefining the role of government and diminishing the scope in which governments and elected officials can operate. It is about creating a new kind of constitutional law over the domestic law that exists in our countries. And that's what it's about, no matter who you're trading with. But it's also important for us to know that Europe is going through a profound change. In coming together, the European Union signed an agreement on procurement, which is the model for what they want here. And basically that said that they have to allow the corporations and the private sector of each of the other countries in the European Union to cross borders as if there is no border, so that it's a seamless, open area for business. And to do that, they have moved to legislated public-private partnerships in all sorts of areas, from hydroelectricity to transit. They are privatizing their transit systems very quickly, to water privatization, to do this in public services. Europe is privatizing way faster than the United States. They're also going through this austerity struggle and these austerity measures. Last week we got a hold of a leaked document from the Central European Bank telling Italy what it has to do. You have to, and they gave them a list of all the things that they have to do in order to get relief from the bond crisis. One of them, of course, is privatizing their water, and this is after a year or 2 years ago, the Prime Minister of Italy had an edict that all the municipalities had to move to public-private partnerships. They actually had a referendum that undid that, saying the people of Italy and overwhelmingly said, we want our public water back. We want to maintain control over our water. And here's the Central Bank of Europe saying, you can't have that. Doesn't matter what you want. This is the transfer that's happening, the transfer of power from people to these corporations through these austerity measures and through these trade agreements. So I think those two reasons, are the reason it's been so hard to get this information out. And so what we're doing on this tour, talking to people, getting this information out, is trying to build, or I shouldn't say trying, we are building a movement in this country to come together and say no to this agreement altogether. I should tell you that at their request, I've met with all the ambassadors from Europe to Canada, including the invitation came from a man named Brinkmann, who's the EU ambassador to Canada from Germany. And I presented a very strong presentation to them about why we were opposing this agreement. And he said a very interesting thing in response. He said, we very much agree with many of the points that you've made around, you know, environmental sustainability and equity and justice and so on, because I talked about those as being core values. But he said, we are helpless. He said these words, we are, like everyone, are helpless in the face of economic globalization. Markets rule the world. There's nothing anybody can do about that. And what we're trying to do is take advantage or exist as best we can. And I said, that's pretty stunning coming from Germany. I mean, if you, representing some of the most powerful countries on earth, if you feel there's nothing you can do about financial speculation and, you know, hedge funds and the power that corporations and the banks and financial speculation have over your lives, can you imagine how the rest of us feel? You're saying there's nothing that can be done. There's no democratic way that we can reassert democratic control in our world. Now, Paul talked about public services and the threat to public services with CETA. I just want to add another dimension, and that is the threat to resources, to our potash and our fish and our uranium and forests and nickel and minerals and so on. Because the other thing that CETA is a grab for resources. Europe, being a superpower, is in a competition with another superpower, China, to seek and get access in a permanent way to the diminishing resources of the world. And so what they want through CETA is not only to get access to many of the resources that still may have some kind of local control about them, for instance, fishing. There are still rules here about quotas being given to Canadians. They want all that gone. But they want to lock in their permanent access to it through the investor state clause that Paul talked about, which is then if any government at any level says, well, you're destroying the local water system here, or, you know, you're not hiring local people and the unemployment here is very high, or the byproduct of what you're doing here is making people sick and we're going to change the rules, they would have the right to sue for compensation, including all future lost profit. They call it the right to profit. You need to know what this term means. It is actually a term used now in trade negotiations. You have the right to profit, and anything that comes in the way of that right to profit is challengeable. Same story on food, and I just remind us that since NAFTA was signed, 80,000 family farms in Canada went under, just as we all predicted at the time. The control over food, from the growing and the marketing and the production methods, all of it went from small and medium-sized family farms to these large corporations, and the statistics are extremely clear about who controls our food in this country. But that's not good enough for the Harper government. They're now offering up our supply, poultry, dairy, wheat board, supply management in this country, and they're saying to the Europeans, we're willing to give this up if you will lower your standards against our genetically engineered food and against our hormone-laced beef, because Europe has had higher standards around food. So this is the agreement that they've been coming to. So we're working with people who are concerned about these issues in Europe to let them know what the agenda of the Canadian government is, which, by the way, is they haven't hidden. This is a very clear and open statement. They're also looking to prohibit local food policies and practices. Some municipalities, hospitals, schools, so on, are now saying we will promote local food, we will promote local farmers. All of that kind of thing would be absolutely prohibited. And then they have on the agenda this issue of the right to water or the right to access to water. The two biggest transnationals in the world are called Veolia and Suez. They're both in the top 10 corporations in terms of profits in the world. They are from both from France, and they are behind CETA 100%. They have been behind this agreement from the beginning. They're not only going to be able to come in and challenge whenever there's any new investment, a new wastewater treatment plant being put in, whatever, that is going public-private partnership, they're going to be able to come in and bid as if they're domestic. But they're even going to be able to say that if a municipality says we don't want to go private, we want to maintain water services in the public realm, that that is considered a monopoly and a barrier to their fair competition, their fair access to competition. And you should know that Alberta is the first province in Canada to move to water markets, and it looks like British Columbia is going to be the second, and we need to fight this very hard, because once you have a defined water as a saleable commodity, once you give these licenses, convert these licenses to water markets to be sold, bought and sold on the open market, you have lost control of your water, and a dangerous thing to do in a world where with declining water stocks. CETA is the wrong model for a world hurting. I think in the end, if I had anything strong to say about it, and I guess I do have a few opinions here, I hope you're not mistaken that I'm against this agreement and hoping that we can do something with it. But most importantly, it's the wrong model. We are a world running out of fresh water, clean air, old growth forests. 90% of the big fish in the ocean are gone. You know, we're destroying our minerals. We're now into the next level of destructive energy production, from the tar sands to offshore drilling to fracking, and the destruction to the local water systems that creates. We have got to find another model, and we've got to get a hold of the power that is being given again through these trade agreements to these corporations. We won the MAI. We stopped the extension of NAFTA to the Free Trade Area of the Americas. We stopped the Security and Prosperity Partnership for North America. It's come back in another form, but we are continuing to struggle here. The World Trade Organization is on its knees, and this is because of the collective action of countries and civil society movements and working people around the world who said no to this model. And I mean, I remember being at the one of the WTO meetings where it collapsed. It was an African delegate who got up and said, "What part of no do you not understand? This is just not the way we're going to run the world. And the way you are handling us now and treating us with contempt and not letting us have something to drink or something to eat and putting us in these so-called green rooms and, you know, psychologically beating us up every day, that's not good enough. That's not how we're going to run this world. We are going to assert a new way of establishing what the values that I know are deepest in our hearts. I believe with all my heart that we are not a minority. We in this room, the values and views that we're putting here together are not a minority. I believe they are the majority, not only in Canada, but in the world. And yet we still... And yet we're still told that this trade agreements like this are none of our business. We're too stupid to understand them. We're not even allowed to have access to them. well, the time has come for us to say no more. And I think it would be a wonderful, sweet victory to win this one. And I think if we can win CETA, which I deeply believe we can go on to win many, many, many other victories while we resist the agenda being put before us by the Harper government. I thank you, and I just tell you, if you get weary thinking that this is a lot of work and that it'll take the rest of our lives to begin, well, I would say yes, it's true, but what else have you got to do? Thank you.